Welcome to the Joy Powered Workspace podcast, where we talk about embracing humanity in the workspace. I'm Jody Curtis, owner of Purple Ink, an HR consulting firm, and author of Joy Powered and the Joy Powered Family. With me is my friend and co-host, Susan White, a national HR consultant. In today's episode, we're talking about how great companies make people better. In a 2014 study by Harvard Business Review, they revealed seven things that great employers do that others don't. And those seven include...
Number one, have involved and curious leaders who want to improve. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how the leaders, how inquisitive they are, how much they want to do really makes a difference, because they say that leaders' own attitudes, beliefs, and behaviors have powerful trickle-down effects on their organization's culture. Leaders of great workplaces don't just talk about what they want to see in the management ranks. They model it. Be the change in the world you want to see, right?
Yeah, love it. Love it. Number two, which of course we love, and remember, this was Harvard Business Review, not just the Joy Powered Podcast co-authors, but they said have cracking HR functions. I love that word, cracking.
Which I really do too.
Gets your attention, but they went on to say about how important that can be to the entire organization to have a strong HR team.
Mm. Number three, ensure the basic engagement requirements are met before expecting an inspiring mission to matter. So when employees know what's expected of them, they've got performance goals, they have someone who cares about what they're producing, that knowing that they're a good fit for the role and feel their managers have their backs, then they're really ready to commit to almost anything the company is trying to accomplish. People simply don't connect with proclamations of a mission, vision, values without really feeling that it applies to them.
Mm-hmm. Number four says never use a downturn as an excuse. I think that's important too. An excuse we hear most often is people say we have a lousy workplace because the economy's down or because the market is tight or blaming it on someone else, right? But when strong companies, I think, really lead leaders and lead people through those periods. Of course, there's times when we may have to let people go or put hiring freezes on or ramp up really quickly. But great employers recognize this and they go about managing it in the right way.
Mm. I think you can learn as much in a downtime as you can, maybe even more than you can when things are going really well in the economy.
Right, right.
So number five, trust, hold accountable, and relentlessly support managers and teams. The experiences that inspire and encourage employees are local. So strong teams are built when teams themselves size up the problems, face them head on, and they take a real hands-on approach to solving them.
Yeah. Number six was have a straightforward and decisive approach to performance management. We know the importance of that one, right, Susan?
Yes, we do.
They talk about recognition and how important that is, and that a tolerance of mediocrity is always the enemy. Any action or inaction that doesn't produce appropriate consequences adds to workplace disillusionment and corrodes commitment.
Yes. Well, number seven and the final one is do not pursue engagement for its own sake. Great employers keep their eyes on the outcomes they need greater engagement to achieve. It's not just about engaging. It's about what does engaging get us.
Right. Absolutely. Well, one company that we know specializes in many of these concepts laid out by the Harvard Business Review. With us today are our friends and partners from TrueU, Kyle Defer and Gretchen Scott. TrueU is the resource for purpose-driven companies to grow their people as a community of like-minded organizations devoted to helping people grow through self-awareness, personal development, servant leadership, and connection. TrueU supports thousands of leaders who believe there is a greater purpose to business beyond profits and paychecks. Welcome, Kyle and Gretchen.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Well, please, if both of you would start by telling our listeners about you and how your career path led you to TrueU.
You can go first.
Well, this is Kyle, and thanks again for having us on the podcast today. Excited to be here. I've been with TrueU now for a little over 4 years, and I joined about 6 months after it had kicked off, and I was actually the first president of TrueU. I had been in hospital administration for 25 years prior to joining TRU-U and had been president at St. Vincent Indianapolis Hospital for 7 years prior to coming to TRU-U. In the last year or two that I had been at St. Vincent, I just referred to it as a restlessness about, I've done this, 25 plus years. Do I want to continue doing this the next 10 to 15 years? And if I wasn't doing this, what would I do? And so I went through the process of identifying my own passions and gifts and things I really feel strongly about and really settled on mentoring, leadership development, creating healthy cultures in organizations, connecting purpose to work. And ultimately, long story short, became aware of TRU-U. And it was just kicking off at the time. And I remember meeting with Mike Lance, who was one of the co-visionaries together with Dave Lindsay regarding TRU-U. And I walked away from that meeting saying, you've got to be kidding me. This would be awesome to be a part of this. And so I bit the bullet and made a change and left my healthcare career and haven't looked back. I've really enjoyed this work.
Oh, fantastic. What about you, Gretchen?
So I came to TRU-U. I was really blessed. I had a very lovely and wonderful career. I was working for Salesforce and prior to that ExactTarget and had worked with a couple other technology companies. And through the acquisition, I loved working for ExactTarget. And Salesforce was also a wonderful company, but I just kind of struggled finding my role and my place there. And as I started talking with a couple coaches and thinking through, what's my next step, I had considered maybe I should start my own consulting practice. And so I was introduced to Kyle, and I was learning more about TRU-U. And I thought, okay, I'm going to make you one of my first consulting clients. How does that sound? And he said, well, why don't you come work for me instead? And I said, that sounds so much better.
I'm glad you said yes.
Yes. So that's how I came to it. I'm really excited because I feel like I get to do my best work in my career, get to innovate and just create wonderful programs and help leaders be their best self. So.
Oh, that's great. Can you give us a brief description of what does TRU-U really do? Like, what is your work scope?
Yeah. So TRU-U is a nonprofit organization that companies join. Our tagline is great companies make their people better. And so the business owners that join TRU-U, the senior leaders that are part of these companies that join TRU-U, they want to hear their people say, I'm a better person because I work in this company, right? That resonates with them in a powerful way. So they're growth-oriented companies. They want to be highly profitable. But the commonality of those companies that join TRU-U is they want to hear their people say, I'm a better person because I work in this company. And so even if that resonates with you, oftentimes there's frustration with, how do I bring that to life? I don't have the tools, the resources that I need to be able to provide that for my people. And so they join TRU-U, and then we provide a whole array of forums and digital content and resources and leadership training that's made available to their employees as well as their family members that they can take advantage of too.
That's very nice.
To help them to grow and develop and be the best version of themselves that they can be.
Because we believe great companies make their people better.
That's such a unique benefit, I think, that you have, that companies are able to offer that to spouses and children and the whole family.
Well, how many times have you gone to some kind of leadership workshop, gone to a great talk or seen someone speaking? You go home and you tell your loved ones about it and you think, oh, I just wish you could have heard this speaker. Oh, I wish you could have. Or I took this assessment and I want to get you a copy of it, right? And so, how we show up at work is how we show up at home, is how we show up in our community. And we believe everyone can be a leader in all areas of that. And just bringing that back into your family is just super important.
Yeah. So. It's funny, my husband works in healthcare, Kyle, and he frequently says when I come home and say, I heard the greatest speaker, he said, how come all my learning is compliance-oriented? Yours is all this fun stuff, right?
My husband always says, I'm constantly in training, honey, with you. I'm always in training.
It's funny. So you're kind of talking to the choir with Susan and I, because we love this kind of stuff, right?
Exactly.
But where do you find resistance in providing this development to companies? I mean, I know that not all companies buy into this concept.
There's a myth out there that you can separate professional and personal development. And it is a myth. It's not right. Oftentimes when you talk to companies, they're very interested in skills-based training, professional training and development. And they see that as their role as an employer to make sure that their employees have their functional skills up to speed and that they're doing well in that area. But oftentimes there's pushback on the personal development, saying, you know what, that's not really in our bailiwick. Mm-hmm. If you want to do that, that's up to you. But it's not really an investment that we're interested in making. And the truth is, you can't separate those. We are really one person that we, right. that's at home, that's at work. It's mm-hmm. all about integration, ultimately. I frequently tell an embarrassing story of myself early in my career.
When he tells this story, this is my favorite.
Gretchen likes this story. I hate the story.
Mm, must have been personal growth.
Yes, it was right?
So much growth opportunity.
So much growth.
So my first job out of graduate school was at a hospital in Lexington, Kentucky, and it was really my first job, you know. And I was assistant administrator at a hospital there, small hospital, and. My wife, I think it was about around the end of the first week that I started this job, before I left for work one morning, she brings to me a 5x7 framed picture of herself, and she said, hey, here, this is for your office. And I responded to her, and I said, you know what, honey? I said, thank you, but work is work, and home is home.
Oh,
I love that they just made that noise.
So this was your first wife, right?
No, his wife is an angel. Wonderful.
So you recovered, okay.
That was the wrong thing to say. On a variety of levels, it was the wrong thing to say. But, you know, I was of that mindset that, you know, I want to wear this hat, this role of work, and when I'm at work, I want to be all about work, and when I'm home, I want to be all about home. And I was trying to, early in my career, I didn't know how to manage that. But the truth is, what happens at home, you bring to work, and what happens at work, you bring home. And right. So it's about integration. And as we grow as people, as well as professionally, that's good for employers. If you have people who are on moving in the right direction in their lives, in terms of their finances, in terms of their relationships, in terms of their health, mm-hmm. they're going to bring an energy to the workplace that mm-hmm. really benefits the company.
Yeah. I think that is so healthy. I can think about early in my career, I was in banking. It was really important that I was trying to be a professional woman in the workplace, especially around a lot of all men in suits, mm-hmm. that anything that's going on in my life, like my kids or, you know, my husband or any worries, I try to check it at
Keep
the door,
it quiet.
Put on that professional face. Mm-hmm. How much better would it be if you come in with the authentic self integrated, right?
Yeah.
So
right.
I love that you're promoting that with companies.
Right. If I can put in a selfless plug about that concept, you know, when I wrote the book, The Joy-Powered mm-hmm. Workspace, that's why we turned right around and followed up with the Joy-Powered Family.
Yeah.
Because
right.
we wanted to connect those two you can't just be joy-powered at home or at work. You need it both of those.
Together. You were asking about resistance. The other thing that I think we see often, too, is that we talk with a lot of businesses that are interested in growing, and that's a trait within our community, these businesses that want to grow. But they think that, well, we're growing so fast, we don't have time to develop people right now. You know, this sounds great, but we're gonna focus on professional skills right now, and then we'll do that mm-hmm. leadership stuff later. Right. And the reality is, I don't know how businesses think that they're gonna keep those people if they're not growing their people right along with their business. You can't gain loyalty, you can't gain and attract people, you can't retain those individuals. And so I think that's another resistance, is that businesses and business leaders think we're growing so fast, now's not the right time. Mm-hmm. But that's exactly the right time.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, as you're growing in your business, what a testament to your employees that my business is important, but you are part of that future, and I'm developing you right along with it.
Yeah. That reminds me of a story I heard once about a business author who was on an airplane sitting next to a young person, and the young person said, what do you do for a living? And he said, I write books about leadership. And she said, oh, maybe when I get to be a leader, I'll read your book.
Oh.
And he said, oh, maybe you could read my book. Leader.
So how would you describe the relationship between the individual health and growth of the leader of a company and that of the culture of that organization?
Well, you know, I guess I would respond with a question. You know, have you ever worked for a leader who was stuck? Or a leader maybe who was at a bad place?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an unhealthy place in their life?
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
Right.
Yeah. It's frustrating to work for somebody who's stuck personally or isn't in a good place, you know, in their life. There's a degree of unhealthiness personally mm-hmm. that bleeds over into the workplace. The opposite of that is true, too. You know, if people are moving in the right direction, if their relationships are good, if their health is good, if they're financially moving in the right direction with their life, they bring an energy that it can't help but affect the culture in a positive way mm-hmm. in an organization. And so organizational culture really is the sum of individual health or non-health of the individuals, right? So individuals bring with them to the workplace their health or their lack of, of health.
Right.
And that affects the culture. The culture of an organization really is the aggregate of the health of the people who work there.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense.
You know, and you talked a little bit, Kyle, already about separating personal life and professional life. Do you think at any point is an employer crossing the line when they start engaging with employees about their personal growth?
I think, you know, one of the things that employees want in the workplace, something that's important in terms of being an effective leader, is employees want to know that their leadership cares about them as a person, right? That you care about them, not just for what they bring to the workplace in terms of their functional skill or their technical skill, but you care about them as a person, their family and their other goals that they have and things that are important to them in their life. And so I think it's good for an employer to be intentional about reaching out to people and saying, you know what, if you work in this organization, we're going to provide opportunities for you to grow professionally, but we also care about you personally. We want you to be in a good place professionally.
Right.
Sometimes there are, you know, employees that say work is work and home is home, but that's a mistake, right? That's
right.
A mistake. You don't want to say that.
Yeah.
But it is true. Some people, they just want to, you know, they want to come, they want to get their paycheck. They've got that hat on and they want to, they want to create real division and separation.
Right. They want to take the hat off at the end of the day.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Which is so difficult in these times, I think, with our computers and phones, and there's some value in making some separation there, but it's difficult to just say, this is me at work and this is me at home.
If you do have an employee like that, would you recommend that the employer just respect that and back away? Or what would be your advice if you have an employee who says, listen, I'm not interested in all this development stuff. I'm here to work. I don't want
that. Yeah, we've actually had some of our tree member companies tell us that, you know, hey, we've got some of these employees that just really feel like I don't want to be a part of all this stuff. And I think it's, you have to lean in with invitation and you have to have a growth mindset. And I think you do need to respect individuals' privacy. And but just because they say no right now, I don't think no is always no.
Sure.
I think we just need to continue to invite people into conversation. And, you know, maybe what you're trying to produce to them right now, maybe they feel like, get out of my finances. Like, I don't need to know about financial wellness. I'm great. You know, but if they're not physically healthy and they have nowhere to seek out resources or you don't provide those types of things, I think that we have to continue to invite them into dialogue and conversation about that. And we have to model that too. It's, you know, if a leader is telling their employees, we want you to grow and we want you to be your best self, and that individual isn't healthy and isn't taking care of themselves and their relationships, and I think it's harder to say that. But
we do have some companies that are really intentional about saying part of our culture is personal growth and development of our people. You know, and so that's just who we are. MJ Insurance, one of our member companies, they, with John Lofton, will
great
oftentimes
culture.
He'll say, we want MJ to be a place where it's uncomfortable to work here if you're not on a personal growth journey.
Wow.
So
that's
surrounded,
a huge commitment.
You're surrounded by people who are sharing their own journeys, you know, what they're learning, how they're growing, things they're working on, and it becomes uncomfortable to work in the environment if you're not doing the same thing, right? So it's, they see it as a key strategic advantage of their business and in accord to who they are. And so you want to invite people to join you. Join me are two really powerful words in that process.
Yeah.
But ultimately, if people say, I'm just not going to do that, it may not be the right place for them to work.
Sure.
Yeah. And so many times it's about learning about both of them at the same time, right? When you're learning about time management or delegation or communication skills or, you know, learning more about yourself via StrengthFinder or DISC or Myers-Briggs. I mean, those are, you're just doing it at the same time innately, right? We're helping ourselves and through personal growth, and that makes us a better performer professionally as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wherever you go, there you are.
Right.
That's right.
Be the best you, right?
Exactly.
So what are some of the things that leaders are doing to build great cultures in their companies? What are the things that you're seeing?
You know, one of the things that I'll ask Gretchen to talk about this, but we have some companies that are doing these really innovative, cool culture boards. And Gretchen, why don't you, because Gretchen, she's the one who really takes the lead on this, does a fantastic job working with our member company. She's put a kit together on how to do this. she's kind of the guru.
Well, we've had a, thank you, Kyle, that's so nice. We've had a number of companies come to us and say, like, I want my employees to feel loyal. I want them to stay. I want them to know what our culture looks like and feels like and can be ambassadors. Mm-hmm. And one of our companies, Defenders, was kind of the champion with this. And Defenders had created their culture board, and it was in the shape of a Monopoly game board. And the idea was that an employee would start with the company and they would get their board and they would have a year on each side. And there were things that every employee in the company did and knew. It's kind of the tribal knowledge and growth in that company, right? So it's we read these books and we watch these things and we have these experiences. And they talked about it lots and lots, and they had all this great retention as a result of that. And another company, Touchstone, saw the same thing. And so they took the same idea and created the Touchstone Life game board, right? Yes. And so they have experiences and books that they want to read and learning opportunities that they provide. And then we had a great opportunity with Fregi RSC, another one of our companies, who took the same kind of idea of a game and turned it into Trivial Pursuit, so the pursuit of success. Oh. And all these really wonderful ideas that really just tie in your company's mission, your values, and really living that out. And when I talk with our members, I say, like, having a mission and a value is kind of like table stakes. If you don't have that, then get that first. Let's get clarity on that. And then we can talk about what are the experiences that you want your employees to have over and over and over again that you want people to be talking about. And, you know, if you're having a holiday party, why do you want to have a holiday party? And what is it about that experience that makes it part of your culture? And so, and just through those conversations, they get this wonderful feeling of this is who we are, and it's a wonderful way to attract individuals. Mm-hmm. We've seen, I mean, I could name a whole bunch of other companies. They're doing great. Kenny Corporation has a wonderful board. They've created a golf course as part of their board because they are a reseller of Toro and Lawn Care and those types of things. And so really tying into these really creative ways. And I think people see the boards and we're like, oh, I love the idea. Like, they look at it, the picture of it's really great. Mm-hmm. But it's the depth of really what's behind it that makes it super special. And that's what allows their employees then to become ambassadors of their company and champions. And this gives them pride as to why they want to work in those companies. And so it's been beautiful to see our organizations kind of adopt that and take that on.
Something else that Kenny Corporation does is they, every year, they ask all their employees to identify their word for the year.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So every employee has to identify, what's your word for the year? And so for 2019, is it, you know, and it can be anything. It's their choice. It's their word, right?
Sure.
But it's something that they want to focus on this next year, something that is really important that they want to get better at, or something that is just especially meaningful to them, or it can be, you know, whatever they want it to be.
Give me an example of a word that someone might pick.
So we actually do this at True You too. Okay. And so, like, my word this year was faith.
Okay.
And so as we share that as a team, and so everyone knows that's my word, that's kind of my life theme. I like to think of it that way. And it's just a journey for me I chose faith this last year because I wanted to grow deeper in my faith and also have better faith in individuals. And so Kyle and I and the rest of our team all know that, but then on a periodic basis, how's your word of the year coming?
Aww.
Right? And so, you know, touch base on that. And so, you know, I've read a lot of books and I've had a lot of great prayer practice and just for me personally. So an individual at one of these companies will have their word, but the really cool thing is that they make it into a big poster that everyone in the company then sees that these are the words people are focusing on this year.
It's like a banner they put over their wall. So when you walk into the kitchen, you see everybody's words.
Everybody,
you know who they are, but you see all these words are up on the wall.
Very.
And then at the end of the year, they give their employees the opportunity, completely voluntary, but when they have their annual meeting, they give their employees the opportunity, who wants to share about your word this year? And you get to hear the stories about
transformational stories.
Yeah,
really. I was thinking of the word alligator, but I realized I would probably have a different, coming at it a different way.
It might be a different metaphor for something.
It might be. I'd probably have a fun time telling a story about it.
Yes.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
That's hilarious. So, well, what else should our listeners know about True You?
You know, we're really a learning community. We're not a consulting company. We don't go and do assessments of companies and make recommendations. We're really an organization that companies join, and then we invite them to participate in these learning opportunities. So we say when you join True You, you come as a student and you come as a teacher.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the events that we have, the people who are speaking at these events are the CEOs or senior leaders of these different member companies. in the audience or the leaders from these other countries. So we're learning from each other. We do CEO roundtables and people ops roundtables and the whole variety of, we have an online learning portal that we make available to all employees and their family members on all kinds of areas of personal growth and development. And really our flagship program is our leader in training program. Mm-hmm. And I'll let Gretchen touch base on that. Again, she runs that and does a fantastic job.
Yeah, the leader in training program, the LIT program, it's a 6-month program. And it's designed for leaders who are high potential, looking to grow. Over that 6 months, they're introduced to topics on DISC, situational leadership, coaching, trust, conflict, that transition from a manager to a leader, strategic thinking and presentation skills. And then we put them into a capstone group for a group of five or six individuals, and then they identify a theme of something in business that they want to improve in their company. It might be employee retention, it might be motivation, it might be working as a team, it might be the different generations in a workplace. Mm-hmm. And they research companies that are doing that well and identify a best practice they want to adopt in their company. And then to graduate, they make a group presentation in front of their managers and executives on what that idea is that they want to implement, as well as they write an individual reflection. But we've seen leaders, we're actually getting ready to start our 18th class of that program. And we've been measuring that all along. So we assess them before, and then we do an assessment after, and they self-rate themselves of where they see themselves and their competence and their confidence as a leader. Mm. And we've seen growth over growth, 30 to 35% higher rating of their own confidence and competence after completing the program.
Wow. What is so great is if you're not a firm that could, you know, really afford to put together your own program, tap into
something like
yours.
That.
What a beautiful idea.
Yeah, right. We love it.
That's fantastic.
And it's a great, they get to work with a lot of diverse leaders too. I love the class because I'll have people come in and they'll say like, oh, my business is so hard. You know, nobody has the hiring challenges that we have.
Yeah.
And then they're sitting across the room and they're like, you think you got hiring challenges?
Yeah,
you got hiring challenges, right?
Or, good calibration.
You've got this problem. We got the same problem. I work in healthcare. You work in construction. What? This is the same problem. And so that synergy that comes, they're really able to build a network too of individuals that they would never go out and find on their own.
Right.
So it's great. I love it.
Wonderful idea.
And how can our listeners who are interested in learning more about TrueU or joining TrueU, how can they reach out to you?
Go to the website.
We have a great website, TrueU, that's TRUE and the letter U.com. And we've got all kinds of information on the website. And you can also reach out to us through the website.
Okay.
Or you could email Gretchen or I. My email is kyle.defer@trueu.com. And Gretchen?
And I'm gretchen.schott@trueu.com. But if you go to the website, too, you can see our profile pictures and click on that, and we can get an email right from there, too.
All
terrific.
Right. Fantastic.
So interesting. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for having
us. Sharing.
Yeah. Well, we see ourselves as kindred spirits Jody and Susan, and thank you for the great work that you're doing with this podcast and spreading the word that you want to grow your business, grow your people.
Yes. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah. Good last words.
So, Jody, it's time for our listener question. This question is from Kira in Indiana. How can HR best communicate change to employees who have had a hard time coping with it?
Well, Kira, I think there's several things that HR or even organizations in general can do. Number one is think about how the change will affect the organization as a whole, right? Sometimes change is needed for the good for the whole company. That doesn't mean it's always good for each individual employee, right? But if we can get people to focus on the greater good. Another one, I think, is what their role is in the change. So in for speaking to Kira specifically, how will this change affect her personally, her particular role, her particular department, so she can have an understanding of that. And then also how what they are doing will affect others in the organization, like not just your department, but as a bigger scope, and how it might unfold over time. Or example, what's the timeline for it? Yes, we might be changing software, we might be getting new benefits, we might be changing a process, but how long is this going to be done, in a week or a month or 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. So that people have the opportunity to sort of think through it or walk through the process. Typically, change doesn't come overnight to that. So,
and I think I would jump in to say that I think so often when there's a change that has to be announced, management puts a lot of time into that initial, here's what we're doing, here's why we're doing it, that type of thing. But then they go silent or they go dark. You don't hear from them again. And what's really important in a time of change, Kira, is to make sure that
managers are even more visible, that they're available. So people have Q&As that they can respond to them, you know, in the moment. And just even if you're going to ever over-communicate, now's the time to do it, I think, in a time of change.
Exactly. Communicate, communicate, communicate from beginning to end. In our In the News segment today, according to Bloomberg Law, claims of sexual orientation discrimination against federal contractors more than tripled in 2018, and gender identity discrimination claims doubled. It was just over 3 years ago, if you remember, if you were aware, that the OFCCP, which is the Department of Labor's Office of Federal Contract Compliance Program, began enforcing LGBTQ protection. Now, what's interesting about this particular study, although it's only focused on federal contractors, it was interesting to me to find out that federal contractors employ almost 25% of U.S. employees.
That does surprise me, that it's that large.
It was fascinating to me. But it was just in 2014 when former President Obama issued this executive order prohibiting federal contractors from discriminating against workers and job applications based on sexual orientation or gender identity. Again, it was fascinating to me that we didn't even have any protection against this population until 2014. So for me, I kind of took this as bad news, good news. The bad news is the claims are rising, but the good news is that this population is being protected. And so it's likely not that the claims weren't there before. People probably just didn't make the claims, and now they can make them and be protected by them.
Yep, and I think we'll all be happy when it applies to 100% of the workplace.
Right.
Please tune in next time. Thank you for listening today. If you've missed any of our podcasts, you can catch all episodes for free on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts by searching on the word Joy Powered. If you like our podcast, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. And we'd love for you to rate and review us on iTunes. It helps people find our show. If you have any questions on any HR topics, you can leave us a voicemail at 317-688-1613. Or email us at joypowered@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at Joy Powered. We welcome listener questions and comments.